Hello and welcome to another episode of Open House here at Community Media of South Central Pennsylvania. I am Frank Kozak, and I have the pleasure today to be speaking with Mindy Rothman and Mike Rothman from the Friends of Cador State Park. I know both Mike and Mindy well, as we have served on the board of directors for the Friends of Cador State Park over the last few years. And I'd like to start off with maybe an introduction of yourselves. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Mike, and then Mindy.
I've been up in Cador for years. I started fishing there in the 70s. And when we started camping again, we found out friends, we got involved with the friends, and we met a lot of friends doing that. It's real enjoyable.
Okay. Mindy?
Well, same. I didn't start in the 70s fishing. Not a big fisherman, but when I retired from being a teacher, I said that I wanted to, you know, give back to the community and be involved. So we had been camping in and had a boat on the lake, and we found out about this friends group. And like Mike said, we just decided that we wanted to, you know, get involved both as a couple so that we would have something, an activity in common to do, since we all have our individual likes, like fishing, and I like to travel. So we, you know, jumped in headfirst, so to speak.
And jumping in headfirst is not an overstatement. If you're president of the group now, yep. And you're running one of the big fundraising events, Experience right. Cador Outdoors. Okay. Yeah. For those that don't know about the Friends Group, How would you describe the group and tell the audience about what you do and how you do things and how you make a difference for the park?
Okay. Well, our big mission is to maintain what we have at the park for, you know, the current community, but also to work at having it for the future. So that means a lot of cleaning it, both in the fall and the spring through some of our activities. We also have an invasion group so that in the invasives can, you know, clear out so that we have room for, you know, all the natural habitats and growth to make it, you know, enjoyable as well. And then we do fundraisers to help subsidize some of the state funding that the park has. And that's our biggest approach, is to get funds that are available for the park to utilize, whether it's an additional thing that the park, you know, perhaps didn't think about or know about, or subsidize sometimes even when budgets are on hold and, you know, they don't have the funds to repair a lawnmower or something. We jump in and give them the money to do that.
Okay. All right. Mike, do you want to add to that at all?
Not really. It's getting out there and getting to know the park staff, okay. Giving them a hand wherever you can.
So how do you accomplish that? I know from my time with the board. How do you accomplish all the different things you do? And then we'll get into all those things in a second. But how do you partner? Who do you work with? Who's your team?
Every month, well, being one of the board of directors, every month we have a meeting, and we have the park present. Mm-hmm. One of the representatives from there, and they tell us what's going on, what they need. Mm-hmm. And then we say, okay, how can we help out? Helping out, we, like Mindy said, we do help clean up. Mm-hmm. There's lots of things we do for.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick your brain on the lots of things, because it's a long list.
It is a long list.
And you know, park cleanups are one thing, but they're maybe even a small thing of what all is done in the park, both as fundraising or for the community or helping the environment. So, mm-hmm. Go down the list.
Okay.
impress the audience.
Well, we have what we call events and activities. So some of the activities that we have, in addition to the cleanup and the invasives, would be, you know, just enjoying the habitat through a wildlife, you know, what do we call that? I have it here. a wildlife group. I don't know. I didn't find it. And then we have the outpost because we have an excellent wood crew.
Explain what the outpost is.
Well, I was going to get back to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The wood crew cuts up a lot of the wood from fallen trees into smaller pieces that can be sold to the campers while they're there. And we sell it through the process of our outpost, which is a camp store. The camp store, in addition to selling the wood, also has ice that is available virtually 24/7. I mean, there are certain hours, whether we're closed or open, but that's available to the campers that are there. And then the actual store, we have all those tiny things that can be forgotten, from the chocolate bars and the marshmallows for your s'mores. And we have ice cream, and we have, you know, things that maybe in packing and setting up you found you forgot, whether, you know, it be a clothesline, whether it be, you know, something to hook up your camper, you know, with, or, you know, all those kinds of things. And small toiletry items, ketchup and mustard, you forgot that, you know, all those different things that, you know, a camp store can offer.
So if you want to be amazed, go just to visit the camp store. Okay. What they have in that store in a small building is phenomenal for campers to purchase as they need.
Mm-hmm. The camp store is run by us volunteers, and it's open Fridays and Saturdays. Holiday weekends, it's usually open another day to compensate for the extra people in. The ice and the wood that Mindy was talking about, there's actually a honor system. Mm-hmm. Where you can go in and get what you need. There's bins of wood and a freezer in there for ice.
So you operate the outpost, mm-hmm. the other things on the list, and keep in mind we only have half an hour.
Well, if we start beginning, we have park cleanup. We have a Easter egg scramble that's open to the community.
And that's always on Good Friday.
Yes.
Every year.
Tell a little bit more about that. Free of charge, what's involved in it, what can the kids do and the families do?
The Easter egg scramble, we renamed it from a hunt because they're really not hunting the eggs because they're just in a field. And they're age appropriate, so they're for small children as well. Families can come in, they need to. Some years we pre-register, sometimes we don't, so they can check out the website for that, which we'll give a little bit later. But there usually is some type of numbers gathering, so we can make sure we have enough of everything for the children. Again, check out the website as far as the Easter egg hunt each year. But they come out and they just scramble looking for the eggs. There's Easter Bunny. We have crafts. You know, we welcome grandparents to bring their children. And so this is a community event to get the you know, children and families into the park. It's located near the pool in the two pavilions that we have there. And it's just a real fun time, especially pictures with the Easter Bunny. That's always a big hit.
Okay. I find it interesting that it takes several hours to set up. And when the scramble starts, the eggs are gone in about 10 seconds.
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
And remind everyone that this year it's limited to 300 children.
Yes.
Just because it's been a very successful event, and we have a little difficulty managing it. So.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, to make sure we have enough for everybody. Yep. We don't want to, you know, have that, you know, third or fourth or fifth child and not get something because we had only planned for so many. So.
Okay. All right, we've got one down, 18 to go.
Let's see, after Easter egg, we have, I guess...
Art in the Park.
Art in the Park can fall sometimes in May and October. In the past, we've had an instructor come in, and I forget the guy's name. He'd be on PBS, showed you how to do all the painting.
Yep.
They do the same type of setup.
Okay. And that's open to the public.
That's open to the public. There's pre-registration. That can be done on a website.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's normally done in May and September, August or September, twice a year.
Mm-hmm. And they'll paint a scene of the park area, wherever the artist, you know, chooses. And it's going to vary from year to year, so they would get a different painting each year. But typically, you know, it's trees with the lake background type of scene.
So if you wanted to try out your art skills or maybe hone your art skills. Art in the Park is a good event. There is a fee for it, I believe.
Correct, for the canvas and all the paints and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Nothing outrageous, okay.
Yeah. And again, we have volunteers that set up, you know, the tables, the chairs, you know, all of that prior to the event, and then clear up and, you know, clean up afterwards too. So always volunteer opportunities.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. After that, we have Experience Coudors Outdoors. Everybody likes acronyms. We call it ECO. Mm-hmm. And we call it a celebration of outdoor fun, environmental education, good life, good food, live music, and local craft artisans overlooking the beautiful Lake Marlborough.
It is beautiful. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Family-centric.
It's family-centered. It's over on the main launch off Sensheim Road. It $15 per carload.
No matter how many people are in a car.
You can put 30 people in a van. I don't care. You're in
deal.
For 15 bucks.
This is one of the best deals you'll ever find.
Yes.
We have all kinds of participants, from animal rehabilitators. We have the fire company in there doing scuba diving.
Demonstrations, yep.
Falconry people are there. The Game Commission will be there this year. They're going to have their learn to shoot trailer with laser guns.
Wow.
Okay. We have a new one this year, which is Keys to Bees. We'll only be there Sunday, but she's going to have a live bees nest there so that the kids can learn that. York County Commissioners will be there. Mm-hmm. City of Hanover will be there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Food trucks, many food trucks are going to be there, hopefully.
Which is not included with your $15. We'll just, put a little asterisk there.
It won't go on.
There is a kids zone for little guys, all different kind of crafts for them, face painting, the family fun area for a little bit older kids, badminton. There's a big Connect Four game. Mm-hmm. There's an obstacle course, kite flying. They get to shoot off, parachute men out of a tube, which is fun.
Is the water slide going to be there this year?
We have the water slide this year. We have a dunk tank.
Okay.
Yep.
Fishing.
Of fishing course. Will
be there.
Yes.
Involved with.
Yes. Okay. So. We are very thankful for Frank in the fishing areas. Yes.
Yes. So, a tremendous outdoor activity for the family with a focus on kids' activities. And again, for $15, you won't find a better deal to come in and spend a day at the park.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's always held the weekend before Father's Day. Mm-hmm. So it does move a little bit, and you just got to look at your calendar.
Okay. All right.
It's a good way to remember when it is.
Okay. All right. And it's one of the fundraisers for the
kids. It's one of the bigger fundraisers, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We try to find sponsors, but, again, to subsidize so that we earn more of a profit. So we're always on the lookout for sponsors. And we are very thankful for the ones that so far have agreed to become sponsors. And each year, we try to increase that. Yeah.
So I'll make a pitch here for anyone out there thinking of sponsoring this great event. You could look at the website and find out how to do that. It'd be money well spent.
Yeah. After that, we have Paddle in the Park. They play Go Fish on the Lake.
Okay.
And they start at the main launch, and they bring their own kayaks and swim or paddle to the different docks where the people are located. Mm-hmm. And they go there and ask for what cards they want.
Okay.
And they come back around, and whoever has the best hand at the end, there's prizes that are handed out.
Okay. All right.
So it's a good day, morning on the lake.
Okay.
It's fun.
So far, we got cleanups, we got egg scrambles, we have eco, we have paddle in the park, art in the park.
Yep.
And then? Trick or treat.
Biggest one. Yeah.
Will be the biggest one that we have.
Okay.
I don't know how familiar you are with the campground, but the campground has four loops. We take two of the loops that are closed after Columbus Day.
Okay, so the Friends group has those two loops.
Okay. C&D.
And it's turned into a Halloween paradise.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of decorations. I'm trying to think. I think the fee for that one is $20.
Okay.
Yes,
and you have to pre-register online.
Again, limiting participation because it's so popular.
Right. Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Correct. It's open to the public. They can buy tickets online at our website. They get to come in There's food trucks there at the beginning if you want to buy the food there. Hmm. And they get to come through the two loops and collect gobs of candy.
And it's very similar to a lot of other organizations or venues you can go to at Christmas, and you can drive through and see all the lights. Mm. This is kind of neat. You're getting a two for one. You can walk through the campground and see all these wonderful Halloween displays with colored lights and you know, moving skeletons and witches and things like that. Not scary, because that's one, you know, priority we have. We want to have a family-friendly event, so we don't make them, you know, scary. And then the children have their trick-or-treat options and collect the candy. Mm-hmm.
So some of the vendors or some of the campers, it is amazing what they put out in decorations.
Yeah.
There was one fellow I talked to. He had 24, 26-foot enclosed trailer. Mm-hmm. Full of 6-7 foot displays that he put up every year.
I've seen the boat there. I mean, basically a ship somebody brings.
Yes.
To go onto the ship.
This year
yes.
It turned into a NASA.
Yeah.
Into a space shuttle.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's phenomenal.
Same base. He just changed it up
okay.
a little
yeah.
bit.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And each of the campers has to bring a certain amount of candy to
correct.
Hand out to the kids.
Yes.
What's that number of pieces per camper?
3,000.
3,000.
3,000. 15,000.
1,500 per
1,500
night.
1,500 per night, yes.
Okay. So we've got a supply.
Is, you know, the generalization, because we don't know sometimes what night, mm-hmm. you know, is going to be larger than the other, so.
And how many campers participate in this?
As far as the campsites?
I'm not sure the number of campers.
75.
75. They each bring.
Yeah.
3,000. And my understanding is many times they have to go out after the first night and buy more candy.
Yes.
Yep.
So.
Because some people won't bring the 3,000 because they think that's excessive. And then they find themselves saying, you were right. We do need more candy. And then they run over to Sam's Club or Walmart or somewhere mm-hmm. local.
Okay.
The other thing, though, during the day, because both of these are at night, again, so you can see the lights, but on Saturday morning, we have the Pets on the Prowl, which is a walk through the campgrounds, okay, just like the children did the previous night, but with your pet, okay? Typically dogs. Some cats, but we've also had birds on a shoulder.
Okay.
We've had reptiles of some sort, either legs or no legs.
Okay.
But we, you know, whatever your pet is welcome. We've had, you know, hamsters or whatever. So some are carried, some are walked.
Did people really walk their hamster?
No.
Okay. the extra.
Prowling is okay. on their arms.
All right. Okay.
But regardless, there is a registration fee, registration so that we know how many people are participating.
But no fee, is that correct?
No fee, okay. Yes. I misspoke there when I said registration and fee. But we do collect monies during the walk from anyone wants to make a donation. We have a little bag for a donation, and then all that money goes to a local pet charity. So it's not for the park or for, you know, the friends group in that case.
Great.
Because we want to give back to a local charity.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Whew. That's the majority of the events.
Yeah.
Fall is the cleanup again.
Yep. So then a lot there.
Yep. Some of the other little things that we do. Well, wait a minute. I guess I forgot one of the big ones. January into February, we make maple syrup. Mm-hmm. They have the maple trees that they have tapped.
No, they is the park staff or park people.
Well,
or
we actually do the
joint group.
It's a joint effort. The volunteers go around and tap the trees, collect the sap on a daily basis, and store up the sap until it's time to have make the syrup. And I think there's one or two demonstrations that's put on by park personnel each year for the making of the syrup. And then the actual syrup is sold.
We were just at the Hanover Market this mm-hmm. past weekend, mm-hmm. and our friends group had a display up there. So, you know, for good, you know, PR to the community, remind everyone that we're here, and they were also selling the syrup mm-hmm. to the public.
So you, how much sap is collected every year? Any rough idea how many?
I don't remember offhand. I know it's quite a bit.
It's a tremendous amount of sap.
It's roughly 40-to-1 ratio.
Sadly, though, this year was a little less because of the cold winter that we had, and it can't flow during, you know, has to be certain temperature range for the sap to flow. Yeah.
Okay.
A little too cold.
When the park personnel, Renee Widener, the environmental specialist,
correct,
has her programs, as I recall, the kids can actually go and draw sap out of a tree. Is that correct?
And help through demonstration.
Yeah, through demonstration, do that.
Yes. Yes.
And then they can come and watch the friends group cooking all the sap, cooking it down, and they can buy the syrup there if they like.
Right.
Correct.
And that's a many week endeavor, right? So you have
it's quite a few weeks. Yes.
You have 2 days a week. You have 4 or 5 volunteers there.
Right.
They have volunteers going out almost every day to collect the sap because the issue is when you, at this time of year you want it to freeze at nighttime and be above freezing during the day to make the sap run.
Okay, all right. And
so you can't let it freeze on the tree overnight.
All right.
And Renee does also some during the week programs for homeschool groups.
Okay.
And then open to the public on the weekends when families would be available.
Phew, exhausting. And I know the answer, but how do you pull all this off? I mean, cleanups, scrambles, big events, fundraisers, outposts.
It's a collaboration between us and the park. The park, you know, helps us out, tells us, you know, what they want to do, but then they'll be out there to help us. If we look at our two big ones, ECO and CTOT, the park's out there helping us set up also. But it's the volunteers
that
belong to the Friends of Cadores that help us pull it off.
And as the Friends volunteer coordinator, I would like to love to make a plea for more volunteers for ECO right now, because that's our next big one to work with. And we are a little shy on volunteers, sign up at least. I know a lot of people out there that, you know, have helped in the past but haven't signed up yet. So I'm hoping those and new people will, you know, say, hey, this sounds like a fun event, being outdoors, being with friends, doing activities with children, and would love to come out. We are going to be hopefully having some special demonstrations and presentations for this being our 250th anniversary of our nation this year. So we've invited the Hanover Historical Club organization to come and do some things. So some extra surprises there too.
So you didn't have enough to do. Doing more. Okay.
Yes. All right. Of course.
So don't leave the telecast just yet to run and sign up to volunteer. Wait till after the program.
Yes.
All right. How many members in the group? I don't recall now.
Right now, there's roughly 200 members.
Members, okay.
Yeah.
And to say you get many of them coming out for the big events, the ECOs, the CTOTs. You've got a core group that works at the outpost, and then other people lead different endeavors, be it the scramble or invasive cleanup. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
And what's really nice with the cleanups, either type, is we have organizations, businesses, groups reach out to us saying, you know, we want to do a community service. Mm-hmm. We thought we would come to the park and, you know, rake leaves or, you know, do the evasives, pull out this, you know, whatever. And that's very, very helpful because that leads us to work on other things, you know, if these organizations, whether it be Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, the Young Marines, again, businesses have come up for a day of service. They leave their employees off, you know, a Friday or a Thursday to come to the park. And we really, really appreciate that. So
the difference, it's good team building.
Yes.
And one thing I'll add about the invasives is that it's not just cutting down invasives, it's also taking the debris that's cut down and building habitat for small animals to thrive in.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, so we help with the animals, and then we also, one small project every so often as it needs done, we build platforms for the turtles in the lake to help them sun themselves. I always like seeing them as we're kayaking by or whatever.
You're the master turtle platform builder.
No, I was a helper.
I don't know. I think you were the lead. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah. There's every summer Renee has a bee's nest in the office in a visitor center that you're welcome to go in and see. There's an area behind the visitor center, which is kind of an outdoors bird feeders and such to bring in animals. And there's also one over at the Hoff boat launch.
Okay. And the visitor center, I just might add, it's got impressive displays. You know, it's not a big arena, but if you want to look at all the kind of fish that are in the lake or the wildlife, the birds, it's interesting to see. Take my grandchildren there, they just spend a lot of time there enjoying it.
And it's nice for, speaking of grandchildren and the next generation, to appreciate the outdoors, get off of the, you know, screen, you know, thumb pressures, and, you know, enjoy, whether it be, you know, looking at the lake, watching, you know, the wildlife as they hike through the lake, which again is good exercise, you know, for all ages. You know, we had not too long ago a meeting about seniors and getting them, you know, out into the park for, you know, health benefits, you know, lowering blood pressure and, you know, giving them some strength and muscle tone and things like that. So, I mean, we invite every single person out to Cador State Park.
So at the park, what are the activities that visitors can partake in? Just at, not with the French group, but just at the park.
I guess the big one, they have camping, which is from April through October. You have many hiking trails.
Miles of hiking trails.
You have 1,275 acres of water when it's full. There is, on the far side, there is a mountain bike trail. There's a group over there that maintains that. The swimming pool.
Yes, because we don't allow swimming in the lake itself proper.
Understood.
For safety reasons. Yeah. So we do have a swimming pool.
And there's Renee puts on a lot of events over there. Once a month, I think she has a nighttime canoeing to go out and see the moon. She has daytime trips out there also.
Disc golf.
I forgot about that.
I understand there's three disc golf courses.
Three 18-hole courses.
Color-coded.
They actually have national tournaments there.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
Different times, yeah.
Okay.
Because we've run into them a couple times.
Yeah, there's actually a disc golf group that takes care of those for the park.
And then go back to the fundraising aspect of it, where you have the three big event or activities, the Outpost, Cador's, Experience Cador's Outdoors, ECO, and then CTOT, which is Cador's Trick or Treat. The group has funded a lot of big projects at the park. Can you tell the audience about some of those?
Well, the Band Shell area, we put up a pavilion, and that costs $35,000. We did acquire a grant and then contributed $125,000 to the new Black Rock Lodge that is open for anyone who, you know, wants to rent that. It's virtually a home, so it's beyond the typical cabins that we have in the campground.
And that's a 1750 era building that's been restored?
Yes, a lot of restoration. We have a playground at the campground that, of course, the kids, you know, all love and go towards that we helped fund and set up with our volunteers. We already talked about the removal of invasives and the outpost, but you know, not only are we selling things, but we also maintain the building for, you know, all of its needs of, you know, cleanliness, you know, construction, you know, updates, you know, security updates, all those kinds of things. We also have built an area to store kayaks. We've purchased kayaks. We have a storage shed for the wildlife watchers on the lake. A lot of educational programs we will help subsidize, or we bought a trailer for Renee to go
out to. Primary specialist,
Yep, to go out to do special events, and then some aspects to add to the trailer itself for educational purposes and things. We maintain a recycling program throughout the campground, which, you know, is great. And a lot of people do take advantage, because one of the things that Mike and I also got involved in early on, before we were with the Friends group, is we became camp hosts. Mm-hmm. So as the camp hosts, we kind of monitor the trash. Part of that is the recycling. So, you know, we sometimes pull out a trash bag before, you know, the recycling is picked up, because people do adhere to that, and, you know, and do a nice job with that to, you know, do the best for our campground. And then the education's environmental specialist also has a pontoon boat that she would take folks out on the lake and educate them on the types of fish in the lake, the, you know, wildlife, you know, the birds, you know, just an educational little tour, if you will. And that was in need of repair, and we helped with that as well.
And then with the camp host, we purchased some environmental-friendly vehicles. Is that correct?
A couple years ago, we purchased our first electric gator, which the camp host used to help clean up the park.
Okay.
Their campground. This year, we just bought a second one.
Okay. All right. Okay.
The other thing that we're working on right now, we have roughly $100,000 set aside to build another pavilion, which will be up, if you know where it's at, up near iDocks.
Yes.
Where all the marina, in the marina. So we'll have that in there.
Little picture I built. We built teaching stations.
Yes.
At some locations. You know, if one goes into the park office, there is a wall with plaques on it. And on the plaques, it lists many of the, I guess, programs and installations that have been funded by the Friends group. It's a long list that goes over years. The group started in 2007, correct?
Correct.
Yep, and a long, long list of contributions to the park. So you're making a difference, you know, for the community.
That's what we're trying to do. For the people now and the people in the future.
So what else would you like to pass on that's key maybe to the group as we wrap up here?
Well, first thing would be our website, encouraging people to go on to our website. And on there you will find, you know, about us, our history, you know, where we're located, all the information there, because we are in the old visitor center, which is now what we call, you know, the Friends Boardroom on Blooming Grove Road. And you will find some handouts that you can pick up there, as well as the Ranger Visitor Station, too. On the website, again, you'll find the activity list, the event list, also direct links to the park itself, so it's all inclusive. For each of the individual activities, they have their own website section, and usually has a contact on their person, or, you know, just an email that if they are interested in, that they can, you know, click on and jot a little note that they are interested in helping with cleanup or invasives or whatever. For Eco right now, we have on there a volunteer link that comes to me for everybody to volunteer, but we also have a separate link for sponsors that they can, you know, tap on to fill out information. We also have one for craft vendors, you know, because again, we're still looking for craft vendors. We welcome them. We like to have a large variety of vendors there to interest maybe the adults of the family group as while the kids are having fun in all their activities. So again, we want to have a little bit of something for everybody. And on the website, not only will you find, you know, those links, you'll find a phone number that if you need to call, and that usually is directed to me. And if you want the actual address, 1066 Blooming Grove Road. That's on there if you need to send anything. And around around town, around, you know, all of our visitor centers, we have these informational activities for membership applications. But again, talks about our activities, our mission statement, you know, on our calendar and how you would, you know, want to participate.
And the website's back here behind us.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Then, Mike, did you want to run through some specific slides with the group?
I can, sure. Okay. Right. This is just a general shot of the lake. This is from the main launch, which is off Sensheim Road. Mm-hmm. If you're familiar with that.
Yep. Okay. So I'm going to scroll through here.
Oh, okay. There you go. This is a setup for a display for Trick or Treat. Mm-hmm. Just to give you an idea of what's there. This is part of Experience Codorus Outdoors. This is a kids zone. They have many, many things for the kids to do in there. This is a painting, the face painting's in there.
We have Legos.
There's go-karts for the kids to ride around in, Legos.
Went through the whole list of things that they can kids can do, kids can do and families can do.
We have musicians there through the 2 days. Fishing, that's Frank's area. This is just a general shot of the activity that's taking place during the day. There's part of the face painting. Part of the nature stand, that's one of the furs that they have in there. And falconry.
Yeah.
I think, one more. And there's seed packets to hand out.
Okay, all right. Lots to do there.
There is a lot to do.
Event. Okay.
There's a lot to do in the whole park.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, encouraging people to take a look at this in more detail, volunteer. The benefit of being a volunteer would be meeting a great group of folks.
Friendships.
Yep. Friendship.
It's the love of the park and the people you meet and the friends you meet through doing it. It's been great.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Great. Yep. Well, as a past board member, I appreciate what you're doing for the park. I mean, president is a huge role, and you're leading one of the bigger fundraising events for us. You're both holding up well. All right. Thank you so much.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you once again for joining us in the open house and hearing what we have to say about the Friends of Codorus State Park. Appreciate Mindy and Mike being here, and have a great day. Thank you.